It's already done. Do you need healing tonight?
Would you come this afternoon and take up our tithes and offering? Sing that. Oh, I want to see him. Page 8. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, when we come to church, we don't come to see each other, but we come to see him. To see him in his word, to see him in a revelation, to see him in a victory, to see him by faith. I just want to see him. Amen.
As I journey through the land, singing as I go, I'm pouring souls to Calvary, to the crimson flow. Many arrows pierce my soul from without, within. Oh, but my Lord leads me on, through him I must win. Oh, I want to see him, come on his face, there to see. The night, but I cling more close to him. Oh, he will give me life. Satan's snares may vex my soul, turn my thoughts aside, but my Lord goes ahead. Amen. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of this saving grace. Streets of glory, there I lift my voice. Cares all pass, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in valleys low I look towards a mountain high, and behold my Savior there, leading in the fire. And now stretch towards a valley low. Of glory, let me live.
He's a real friend to me. I'm so glad we have a loving shepherd that knows all paths in life and knows how to lead us. Amen. Cares all paths. Are you home at last? We might be home here, and we're just going through the journey. I'm so glad we had a prophet to tell us about our future home. We don't have to worry about what's after that last breath. We already know. And it's such a reassurance to know that. Amen. Holy words long preserved for our walk in this world may resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the word of God impart its words of life and words of hope. Oh, do you need strength this afternoon? Helps us cope in this world. Wherever we roam, the word of God will guide us home. Oh, word of God, ever true, is changing me, is changing you. We have come with open heart.
Good job, man.
Let the word of impart, and holy words of our faith handed down to this age came to us through sacrifice. Oh, heed the faithful words of Christ. Holy words long preserved
for me and you. Just for us.
In this world, they resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the word of God impart.
Sing it to him.
Oh, it's ever true.
You can depend on it. There's nothing else in this world you can depend on. But you can depend on the word of God.
We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the word of God impart.
John 1:14 says, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, and now we behold his glory in the bride. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have all of you with us. Make a few announcements, and then we'll start. We're going to continue with A Mystery Unfolds. I was looking online yesterday and today, and there's a couple other ministers around the country speaking on the third pull. So maybe that's the word of the hour that we need to know a little bit more about it. And we'll speak a little bit more about it tonight. This coming Sunday, Brother David Gadman will be here. Regular service on Sunday. Brother Aaron's going to be gone to Brother Andre's. So maybe some of y'all will get together and take him out to eat, and we will be there, I guess, with the, if they hadn't done thrown me out at the Methodist Church. So, and that starts at 11 o'clock. And if you need the address, just let me know. But this is your church. I know some of you are going, and that's okay. But just make sure that we have enough people to have church service. We will. Y'all ain't driving 30 more extra minutes to hear me, so I'm good with that. My mom said she's going, though. Thank you, Mom. Praise the Lord. All right, so after the service Sunday at 4 o'clock at my house, we're going to continue with the target practice. We had several this past Sunday came down, and we had a good time and found out who could shoot and who's never shot before in their life. So we are afraid of those people. So, anyway, so, Sister Gabrielle, bless your heart. That's the first time I'd ever shot anything, so scared her to death when she shot one of those guns. So just be safe. We everybody was safe. We had a good time. It was fun. But at 4 o'clock at my house after Sunday, if you would please sign up downstairs, we don't want a whole group because another group is going to be on April the 6th at my house. All right. Also, that April the 6th, we're going to have baby dedication, and we're going to have another water baptism. Someone else has came, Brother Joseph Mambale, the young man that plays the drums. He wants to be baptized, and that Sunday, which will be April the 6th. All right, everybody with me. I got a call from Brother Keith Reed. He's having his 30th anniversary meeting. He's been a pastor of that 30 years, and he wants me to do his meeting for him. So we're going to, May the 2nd through the 6th, Sister June and I are going to be in Jamaica. And you'll have Brother Donaldo will be here preaching for you guys. He'll be here. Bautista, he'll be here that Sunday, Lord willing. And remember, Brother Andre, we're going to be going up there July the 18th through the 20th. There's a sign-up sheet already downstairs. Reason being is that it is the same weekend of that ball thing they have up there. So next year, please remind me if we're still here. Let's don't have it on that weekend. But I do have, this is what we're going to do. I do have 12 rooms reserved under the church at Comfort and Quality Inn there in town. Just like we always do, we just get a block of rooms together. And if you don't want to do that, you can get one somewhere else. Last year, some stayed in Airbnb, which right now is cheaper than a regular motel room because of that ball game. So if you want to do that, if not, fill out the downstairs who all's going. Put every person's name. Don't put Alex Castillo and family. Put everybody's name down so we can know what rooms that we have doubles and we have single rooms, single king beds, and then 9 or 10 queen beds that we've already reserved for the church. So just please let me know if you're coming. It will be Friday. We have got the itinerary set already, and we'll be handing those out probably next Sunday so you can see what's going on. Some of you have not been there before, and it is a fun-filled weekend. Brother Andre called, and he's going to try to get Brother Burley Williams to bring his people up there. So we may have a real big crowd. We always had a good crowd anyway. So let's just pray about that and make sure that if you go in, if you need to get rooms, these rooms are about $120 to $140 apiece. So if you want to get your own rooms, we'll reimburse you that amount from the church if you go ahead and decide to get your own room. All right? So just keep that in your heart. It's only in July, but still. July will be here next week. So all minds clear, everything good? Everybody happy? Well, I don't sound very good.
Amen. Nope. Amen.
Thank you. We have Sister Regina with us today on a Wednesday night. Man, that's good. Yes. We sure appreciate the Lord working it out where you can. You've been so many years where you hadn't been fellowshipping on Wednesday just because of the drive, and that's fine. But now you're here, so God bless you. If you got your Bibles, if you want to turn to, I can't remember what that is. I didn't put it on there. But just 1 Corinthians, but just look at this up here. But we're going to speak today, continue on with a mystery unfolding. So let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to bless this meeting. Father, we pray, Lord, that you'd bless us. Lord, we looked at these many quotes and different things from the prophet, Lord, and we know now that many people, and I say many people, are doubting that you did send us a prophet. Lord, I hope you open their eyes, Father, because I sure see that without you sending a prophet, we would be in bad shape. We wouldn't know what to do. We wouldn't know what to say. We wouldn't know who to worship, a father, a son, or a Holy Ghost. We wouldn't know how to be baptized. We wouldn't know how to live. We wouldn't have church order. Lord, I thank you so much for bringing clarity to the word of God through your little prophet. And Lord, he'll get his reward. Millions of people will receive eternal life under his ministry, Lord. And I pray for the ones that are rebuking that ministry, Father, that you would touch them. Lord, don't let them cross the line, because we're coming up to this great time of the third pull where Jesus, Moses, even Noah preached to the totally lost, those that could never be saved. Father, I pray that you'd let us be diligent. Let us know that we are born again and in the family of God, that we've done everything we can do. Lord, that we've stood in a place, Father, and just stood there and waited on you to move, Lord, and you've moved on many people's lives. We've seen it here, Lord, in just a short time we've had the group here. Lord, under my leadership, Father, and it doesn't mean anything. It's just that I see that people's lives are being changed, that people are loving you more, and that's the way we want, Lord. We don't want a bunch of know-it-alls, but we do want a bunch of know-it-alls that knows you only. And, Father, I pray that you'd bless each one tonight. Be with the ones that are sick. We know there's some, Lord, for requests, Lord, that are not feeling well, that are we know that the pollen is falling, and, Lord, that's just you repopulating the world again. Lord, silently populating the whole world with pollen, but, Lord, it does get in our nostrils sometimes and in our sinuses, and I pray, Lord, that you would take the people that are susceptible to that, Lord, and just touch their bodies, Lord, and heal them, Father, because you're the healer. You're the only one, and I pray that you'd bless us now and be with us. Be with us this weekend, Lord, and touch the lives of the people, Lord, that's going to hear from you, Lord, from Brother David and there in the Methodist Church, Lord. I pray that you'd bless each one, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. But it's written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. All right, now remember, prepared for them that love him. It's just like I'm going to, the little sermon I got fixed up for the Methodist people and the church there. We have plenty of electricity in this building to run whatever we have. I know, Brother Gary, it's a little bit shy. We need a little more electricity outlets, but that outlet's not going to do you any good until you plug into it. Power's there. Power's there. Power for whatever you need is there. That's the same way with the gospel. It's the same way with the word of God. The power's there. God has supplied eternal life, and all you got to do is plug into it. And once you plug into it, you get what that outlet will give you. All right? And we know it's a billion volts coming from the Lord, because what it'll do is it'll save your soul and put you in the kingdom of God. But you got to love him. All right, you got to love him back. That's all he wants. He wants us to love him. He don't want us to filio him. He wants us to agape him, to love him unconditional. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, if you've got the Holy Spirit, what's it going to do? It's going to search out the deep things. That's what the Scripture says. And it's contrary to us. It's contrary to what we are as human beings. We don't like mysteries. No, we don't like surprises. But I like the mysteries of God, because that's what we feed on. We feed on these mysteries of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things, look, that are freely given to us of God. Now, the power may go off in this building, but God's power never goes off. So once you plug into it, you're going to have up days and down days. But that electrical outlet's not going to have it. That eternal life that's flowing freely, but you got to plug into it. Brother Ernie Villanueva said one time, he said, we have plugged ourselves into the eternal. And I get that 100%. So you may be seated, and the Lord has blessing. Now we're going to continue on with the thought, but we're going to take a different angle maybe in just a few minutes and look at something that we were looking at this afternoon and changed up a little bit. So Matthew 13:11. Now this is Jesus. He said, his answer to given said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them it's not given. So this is only to a special group of people. We've read this quote many, many times, that it's only to the people that will receive revelation or have spiritual insight. The problem is we have insight. Sometimes it's just not spiritual. Amen? All right? The invisible union of the bride. Brother Brown said, look, he said, the word that fell on the day of Pentecost will not work this day. No, sir. That was for Pentecost. This is for the bride. Going home with the bride. Listen, we are not people backing up. We can't, as Christians, back up to a Pentecostal experience, 1906. You understand what I'm saying? Everybody needs a Pentecostal experience. But we're not backing up to those days that we were babies and that we were floundering around. We should be grown up. We'll see here in just a minute. If you've not known it yet, you'll know it tonight, that third pull, that ministry that Brother Branham moved into, was a ministry of adoption. That was a ministry that had never been taught before. Not many people have been adopted. But we'll look at it in just a second. The Pentecostals represented that again. We're in the bright age. No more than the word of Noah would work in the days of Moses. No more than Moses' law would have worked in the time of Paul. He tried to tell them, you're dead to that, and you cannot have that. 1 Corinthians. And all these things. I was talking to someone this weekend, and man, how the devil can twist the word of God if you don't have a revelation. That the person was saying that, well, Malachi 4 was in the Old Testament, so Brother Bram couldn't be a prophet because he was Gentile. I said, well, you can believe that if you want to, but I believe the Bible says, behold, I send you. He didn't say, behold, I send the Jews. He said, behold, I send you, Elijah the prophet. So whatever it was, it's for me. And I don't care if it's New Testament or Old Testament. It's always the word of God. Sure, it has its allegory. Sure, it has its time of being natural and then supernatural and spiritual and non-spiritual and all these different things. But you got to be able to, by the Holy Ghost, decipher and take those things and put them in your heart, run them through your filter, and say that ain't nothing but the truth like Hattie Wright did. And all these things happen unto them for examples. Of course, the Old Testament people. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. And if that's not us, then we'll be all gone here in a few years, and another group will come in. But that's not going to happen. There wasn't another group, as we'll get to in just a minute. There was not another group past the group that Joshua took in. There wasn't another group rose up. It was the group that rose up during Joshua's administration, end of Moses. Moses goes off the scene. Joshua takes over. He and Caleb positionally place the people in the land. Everybody with me? And we know that Ephesians parallels Joshua, and we see that the adoption comes when God places you and puts you in a place and says, this is your place. I want you to stay in that place, just like he did with all the 12 tribes of Israel. He said, these are your boundaries. You stay here, you go over here, and you go over here. And Brother Brown told us, he said, when the bride realizes who she is and what she's doing here, she'll be an invincible army. The problem is maybe we're sitting here today, well, maybe I'm not this and maybe I'm not that. Well, you got to find out. You got to find out and know. Know that you know that you know. That's my whole thought. I want you to know who you are. And listen, I can't give you a revelation. You got to pray that God will give you a revelation. Even in the quietness of your home or in the nighttime praying, that God will give you a revelation of what you heard from another minister or from Brother Branham or anybody that preaches the true word of God. I don't care how you get it, as long as you get it. I don't. Psalms 139 says, my substance was not hid from thee. Think about a God that knew everything about us before he even created the world to put us on. Before our mom and daddy was even forming the womb of their mothers and fathers. And our mothers and mothers all the way down. He knew who we were. He knew where we'd be. He knew what we'd be. And where he would come to a place he would give you, he would cross your path. And what you do when you cross the path. What a mighty God we serve. And then see, we can stand and look back and see that it was that genealogy or seed gene of God that come all the way down, even through the Old Testament. It wasn't produced in the Old Testament. Come on. But it was there in God. Jehovah had it all with him. Then he came on earth as a human being, and even his genealogy of his own genetics, of his male sperm, didn't help anybody. That wasn't what he came for. He came to bring us back to where Adam did what he did. He did to alleviate that, to bring us to a spiritual birth, to a spiritual planting of a seed. And that's what you receive. That's a new birth. You receive that part that God saw you had in Genesis 1:26, man, before the foundation of the world. Man, if we can't believe a God, if we can't put our whole confidence that he knew everything, didn't ever change his mind, never made a mistake, then find me somebody else that way. There's not one. So I put my sufficiency all in God. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Doesn't matter where you came from, we all came the same way. All right? And I listened to a brother a little bit ago. talking about Rahab, and Brother Luis did a real good job preaching on Rahab over in Honduras. But you look at all that Joshua came across. They're defeating everybody, and they're fixing to defeat the whole city of Jericho, that the walls were so big you could run a chariot race around. Joshua said, you two men, go find somebody in that city and witness to them. They found a whore. Sorry, just plain. They found a prostitute. These two men, Christian men, tape boys is what Brother Brown said, found a house of a harlot. But that's what God sent them to, because he knew her heart. He knew what she needed deep down inside wasn't what the world was giving her. And they said, you just throw this scarlet rope down and we'll destroy everything but you. But now you make sure you get your family in. Oh, listen, folks, let's make sure we get our family in. Pray for them. Pray for them. And then all you could see standing after all the rubble and after all the destruction and after Joshua came in and they wiped out an entire city, there stood a house with a red string running down it. And Rahab come walking out, and she married an Israeli general, and that's the line that Jesus came from. Oh, wow. Grace. Don't ever, ever forget the grace of God. Ever. That's why God sent us a prophet. For that grace, he sent us a prophet. Thine eyes didn't see my substance, yet being imperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. God wrote this whole Bible and none of us were born. But he wrote it for me. He wrote it for you. He wrote it. He actually inspired Moses to write what happened just for me and you. That's why I see it, just like we were talking the other day, me and Brother Bob were talking about Brother Branham's ministry. I believe he would be preaching along and they would be something that he needed to say. He'd stop, he'd say, or something, and then whatever he said, that's what we use for a quote. And that Brother Branham didn't know everything. He didn't. I don't know if he knew his whole 1,100 sermons was going to do this. I don't know that. But it is, and it did. But every quote we use is to dovetail everything we're preaching in 2025 that he spoke in 1947 to 63 is for us to take the pieces and the nuggets, put them together, and give them to the people. I just believe that 100% that he was totally, totally surrendered to God in a pulpit. I just believe that. Now, he'll tell you what his opinion is, though. He'll tell you what his opinion is. But when it comes, thus saith the Lord, you better believe it, because it came straight from God. Malachi 3, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. That's Malachi 3. That's in the Old Testament. I guess that's not for us. No, that's for me. So the real secret we were looking at the other day is this Genesis 1:26. And sometimes it staggers you to see that this Genesis 1:26, man, if you've been here a long time, Dad's preached it for 40 years, and that's one of my favorite scriptures, so I kind of add it in pretty much every sermon that I preach. That Genesis 1:26, man, it's not every person. It's only the progeny of God. He said, let us make man in our own image. Now, listen, he made man in his own image. He gave each person a soul. But he didn't tell them to be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, take it over, and you be the king of it. That's not for everybody. That's just for us. That's just for his children. He made this world to us, for us to inhabit it as his children. Amen. How do you know that? That's what we're going to. God don't change his mind, remember? He didn't change his mind when Eve did what she did with the beast. He just prolonged his plan and made him much more of a God to be honored and praised, because he took care of all these different things that you and I have to go through. And like a Rahab and like a Ruth and all these different Gentiles that are plugged into the line of the Jewish line, typing us. I mean, we're all Rahab. God sent somebody to us. He sent a couple of tape boys to me, I'll promise you that. In my low condition, yours too. So this great mystery is the Genesis 1:26 man is going to be made manifest on the earth in flesh all the way from the first church age to today, we are just the ending up of it. We're the culmination of all this. So the mystery, where is the mystery? The mystery's in us. Christ in you, Paul said, the hope of glory. But the world won't ever see that. They'll think that, what have they done to Jesus? What did they do with the 12 disciples? Only one lived to die a natural death. One. The rest of them were killed for what they believed. They'd go to a different place, go to India, and go try to spread the gospel. And I'm sure they did. But they all died horrible deaths. Sword, pulled apart, all these different things. They were killed because of what? Because of the Word of God. That's why I love that song, Word of God Ever True. It took a group of people to come through these different ages to hand that word over and to preach it and hand it over to Paul, and Paul puts it in print, and this one puts it in print, and now it's all together and it's ours. There's a lot of blood on this Bible, folks. A lot of natural spilled blood to get this to where we're at today. And why don't we read it? Christ, the mystery of God revealed. When the current is flowing freely, the Word of God, it expresses itself. That's what we was talking about, the electricity, the current. The works that I do shall you be also. And in the last days it shall come to pass. Behold, I will send to you Elijah the prophet, and he shall turn the hearts of the children back to the faith of the fathers. And in there would be a time come forth when he could express himself. Now watch, in fullness of his Godhead deity. All right, so the headstone, the headship will come back, and it is in the end time. It wasn't during the church ages. It is today. Amen. The body was being built, but now the head's got to sit on top of that body so much till every move that we make is what he tells us to do. I just believe that. Amen. Through his church, have the preeminence in this church. Oh my, what? The anointed man. Now the anointed people. So now where's the anointing? The anointing was on the man. The anointing was on a prophet. Now the anointing's on the people. The anointing was on Moses. The anointing was on Joshua, and now if Joshua, he passed away, it was on a group of people that was Reuben and all the different ones, the 12 tribes. It was on them, and it kept going and kept going and kept going. Now the anointed people, oh my, to bring back the anointed bride and bridegroom, anointed by why? Accepting what Eve turned down and Adam, coming back with what? The anointing of the Word. There's an anointing for every age. There's a dispensation for every time. And there's a administration change, just like we had in the government. There's one in the Word of God, people that take over. Like, here's Moses. Moses had a job. All right? He could see the promised land. He told the people they were going to that land, but he didn't get to go. I'll read that here in just a minute. But Joshua was the man with the commission for the hour to take the people over. All right? Everybody with me? Revelation of Jesus Christ. Brother Bram said, look. Now, the Greek word for revelation is apocalypse, which means the unveiling. This unveiling is perfectly described in the example of a sculptor unveiling his work of statuary, exposing it to the onlooker. In other words, it's covered up. The work's been done. It's just covered up. You can't see it, but it's in there. But all of a sudden, the curtain gets pulled back, and there is the statue that you're supposed to look at, that was in the mind of the sculptor first. If you and I looked at it, it'd be just a big block of wood. But Michelangelo could look at that big block of wood, and he could, in his mind, because you know what? If you hit the wrong piece with that chisel, you could have knocked the arm off or even the head that you were going to build. But they knew exactly what to do, and they took that big piece of granite, that old, rough, dull-looking piece of granite, me and you. And the master sculptor has been chipping away down through the ages, and he's chipped you and me out. We're not the chips that lay on the ground. We're the statue. It's an uncovering, revealing what was previously hid. Now, where was it all hid? We'll get to this a little bit later on, but not this service. Where was it previously hid? To us, it was previously hid in Christ. Nobody understood Jesus Christ. Nobody understood who he was. He came to the religious people that's supposed to know, and he could have took a sheet of paper and wrote every scripture down in the Old Testament and said, I did every one of these. What's your problem? And really, that's what he said. He said, you go read the scriptures. He said, have I come any different than that? He wouldn't have been the Word of God. He wouldn't have been Jesus Christ if he hadn't come exactly. So what about today? We look at now, we are trying our best to be that example. Everybody with me? We're trying our best to be that example. And we're going, can't you see what's going on here? This is us. This is what we're doing. This is our hour. This is there. And people are going, I don't believe that. It's somewhere else. Maybe it's somebody else for somebody else. It's not for me. Well, that's okay, but this is for me. I just can't put my, I can't put nothing in anything else. Right. Nothing. You tell me what to put it in. Now, the uncovering is not only the revelation of Christ, all right? Because to reveal Christ is to reveal the people of Christ. Because we are considered Christians, right, which acted like Christ. But you with me on that? I mean, you act like Christ, you look like Christ, you act like Christ. And listen, you can tell the people of the world, we're living this Bible just as best as we can. And they're like, well, that's the Old Testament, or that really is not for me, or he didn't really mean that, or that was his opinion. Talking about maybe somebody writing in the Bible, that's their opinion. I don't see that somebody's opinion is going to give me rapture and faith. Jesus never had an opinion. He never had a skirmish with his Father. He said, I only do that what my Father shows me. And sometimes I tell you, Brother Luis, if we slowed down before we made decisions sometimes, we could act like the Father. Let what inside of us be first. Instead of, see, we didn't do like Christ in the garden. He says, not my will, but thy will be done. A lot of times we want my will, and it's not God's will. I was talking to a brother this weekend, and he said, why are my prayers, if we're just so great, why is my prayers not answered? I said, every prayer you pray is answered. It just ain't answered the way you want it answered. Remember, God's no's are the best yeses you'll ever get. Think about that. God will answer your prayer. It may not be what you like, but he'll answer your prayer. And see, that's the problem. Us in humanity go, well, if he don't answer it the way I want it, then he didn't answer it. No, wrong answer. So it's also the revelation of his future works in the oncoming church ages. And when I say church ages, I mean people. It wasn't a building that said that Luther preached one building, and that's all that happened in Luther's age. Luther did start preaching, and then Luther preached, and the revelation got caught by this brother and that brother and this brother and that brother, and they spread it out across Europe at the time. And then over here, when Wesley came to the United States and started spreading it there. So it's not just a church age, it's church age people. There is no church age without people. God's only going to do this through people. He's not going to do it through a building or an idea. Now, here's what Brother Brown said on the seventh seal. We were talking about this the other day. Notice the next thing, I took some kind of a bar, cut it off. He's talking about the pyramid. And inside was white rock that had nothing wrote on it. Now, look, had nothing wrote on it. And at that time, I started to the west, and I told them all, I said, don't go out west. Stay here and look on this till I return. Went west for the blast. Now, where did he go west? He went west to Tucson. Got the commission to come back to Jeffersonville, and they were going to reveal the seals to him there. They didn't reveal to him out there because it says, look, return back to the east with the Holy Spirit interpreting this unwritten word. All right? Now, if that isn't perfectly the God Almighty, I want you to know what is. What am I trying to say this for, friends, is to show you we're at the end time. Modern events made clear by prophecy. That's why I was telling you that this Elijah, the reason Brother Branham was so familiar with squirrels and birds and all these different things, possums, he was a man of the wilderness just like Elijah was. He was a man of the wilderness. He hated immoral women. John the Baptist, another wilderness lover, a hunter, woodsman. So if they had the character, Brother Branham had to have that same character. Okay? He had no education. Hello, Brother Brown didn't either. Watch, his text wasn't like a theologian. He said, generation of vipers, built this thing you can have in the wilderness, was a snake. He called those priests generation of vipers, who warned you to free from the wrath to come. In other words, he also talked about the axe is laid to the root of the tree. So Brother Branham was under that anoint, that same Elijah anointing. So God had to speak to him through these different things like fish and water and deer and bulls and fish and possums. And he understood that. Brother Branham understood that. So it wasn't a mystery to him. He understood these things. So God used that. And the same thing with me and you. Listen, God is not, let me tell you something. God didn't bring you this far to confuse you. God will not confuse you. He's not a good daddy if he does that. But now he lays it out to us, and if we don't accept it, who's confused? We are. We're the confusion, but he lays it out to where we can get it. Even the people that don't have an education can get it. Illiterate person. Brother Brown said the most illiterate person. So now the third pull or the three pulls, remember the vision. Well, I'm going to go into it about the fish. He caught a little bitty fish, and then he messed the line up, and he was heading to catch bigger fish. He went to the tent vision, all those things. You've already heard that a million times, so we'll not go over it again. But you know the first pull was what? The showing of his hand and calling out the sickness. What was the second pull? Bring the person up to the prayer line. Bring them to the prayer line. Tell them what they were. Tell them their name most of the time, where they lived, what was wrong with them, and pronounce them healed or not. Right? So that was the first pull, was pulling the people up to that point. All right, everybody with me? Pulling the people up to that point from the Pentecostals that were just speaking in tongues and jumping and shouting. You know, Brother Branham was, he put order to that. He gave them prayer cards. He said, I want number one, number two, number three, number four. Come up to the front, and it made some order instead of everybody trying to rush up to the front of the... Listen, if you saw that healing power, you'd want to rush up there sometime, I guess, if there was no order to it, but there's order to God. But a pull is a force drawing someone or something in a particular direction or course of action. So taking side with Jesus, Brother Brown said, look, now look, remember the commission. This is where we'll get another gear right here. He had a commission. Remember the angel said, do the work of an evangelist. I believe it's Thessalonians. So do the work of an evangelist. Make proof of your ministry, because there'll be people with itching ears and all these different things. And he wrote that down and put it in what? He put it in the cornerstone of the church in Jeffersonville. All right? He said, do the work of an evangelist. Not be one. Do the work of one. Now listen, I want to show you. Now this is 1962. In June, 1 year before the seals open. All right, so I'm setting the stage here. Now, as I have done the work of an evangelist, and here is my plea. If that is pleasing to God, I've done the work, all right, trusting that I have pleased him, asking for forgiveness for all my mistakes. Then he may be calling me from the field of evangelism to be his prophet. Now, how many times did Brother Brown, he'd say prophet and stop, say, no, that stumbles people. He said, I'm just a brother. I'm just a servant. I'm just a seer, a seer. But he said right here, look, then if it is, I'll leave evangelism. Now, what was his evangelism? Healing campaigns. All right? Sure, there's great nuggets in there, and there's things, like I said, that God put in these sermons that we pull out. But most of it was the prayer line. The most of the people came for the prayer line. But if he calls me to be a prophet, I cannot be an evangelist. It's 1962, right before the seals open. If I'm to be an evangelist, I cannot be a prophet. I'm mixing the two offices. That's where I've always fussed about. Now watch what he says. Standing on the platform, it's never been good are successful. 50,000 miracles in one sermon, and he said it wasn't successful. Millions of people healed, some instantly. Saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost in his ministry. and bringing them up to the prayer line. It's never been good, successful. You think he kind of figures out what his real message is fixing to be. God has used it. Now watch. God has used it, but I've never thought it was his direct will. I'm just reading you a quote. I've never thought it was his direct will. It's been his permissive will. Remember the angel told him, he said, you messed up. You tried to explain it. You stood there, in other words, and wasted your time explaining it when you should have just told the people and left. That's what the angel said. Yeah. It's been his permissive will. Stand on the platform. A vision or two will knock you out almost. See? And then watch this. Then if you tell this person how to straighten himself out and what to do, and then the next person stands there, he's expecting the same thing. And you can't tell him unless something tells you to tell him. What a strain that you can... somebody asked me the other day, said, well, why doesn't he heal everybody? I said, let me tell you something, brother. I said, that's real narrow-minded. When God himself was here in human flesh, when Jesus Christ was here in human flesh, he went to a pool called Bethesda, right? He walked through hundreds of people, Brother Brown said, worse off than that man sitting on a pallet. They probably had a prostate problem. It wasn't going to kill him. He'd been alive 30 years. Why did he walk up to that one man and heal that one man? You explain that to me, and I'll explain to you why somebody gets their healing and some don't. All right? I just pray for me to have more patience with people that are that sarcastic, that has something illiterate to say like that, when you can put it right in the scripture and say, well, Jesus did it when he was in here on earth. He did the same thing. There's no telling how many. Listen, there's no telling how many crazy people he walked around, but he went to one. He went across the lake to one and cut to that one called Legion. It's God. He's sovereign. He does whatever he wants to do, and he knows what he's doing. So let's not correct him and figure out why he's not doing this and figure out why he's not doing that. It may be our problem that we ain't figured him out. I promise you, God's already figured us out. Everybody with me? Then the other people feel like you're a traitor or a backslider. What about that? Or a demon or something, because you don't tell them what they want to know. See, that's not the office, the way a prophet operates. How about that quote? Brother Bram, he put that in the cornerstone of his tabernacle. Do the work of an evangelist. Didn't say be one, do the work of one. Listen, he had to come through the first pull, second pull. He had to get the people to come together. The bait on the hook. The hook was the unwritten part. The book was the unwritten word. The hook, I mean, was the unwritten word. That's the word that they hadn't seen because they saw the bait. But they hadn't seen the hook. So let's read just for a minute right here. Joshua 1:1. Now we're looking at Brother Branham now. And he's preached from 47 to at least 1962. And he comes up to 1962 and he makes that statement. I've not been successful. In other words, this is not my ministry. I'm going to have to quit being an evangelist. I'm going to have to be a prophet. I can't be a prophet, though, and be an evangelist. So he's having to make a decision here, because it's a junction of time for him, just as this was a junction of time for Joshua. But God made sure that Joshua knew what he was doing. Now, Moses did, but Moses made the mistake, right? Moses made the mistake, Brother Bram said. He exalted himself above God, and God said, you can't go to the promised land. Now, that's a direct quote, all right? And actually, God told Moses, you can't go across. I told you to speak, and you smote it twice. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into a land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your feet or foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness And this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the lands of the Hittites and the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Can you say that to yourself? That God's not going to ever fail us or forsake. He can't. He can't change his mind. Be strong and of good courage. Now listen, he wanted to make sure that Joshua knew this because he said it three times. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people, all right, now we're talking about adoption. We're coming to adoption part. We're coming to where Brother Branham sees his adoption, and then he's going to show us the land. Come on, somebody. He's going to show us the land. He's going to describe the land. He's going to tell us how to get there, but he's not going. Everybody with me? But he's not going. Now, you know what I mean. He's not candidate for a body change without death. Because he's passed away. But he showed us everything we needed to know to get there. He showed Joshua. And God said, Joshua, as I've been with Moses, I'll be with you. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land. Now what? What was Joshua a type of? The Holy Ghost. Caleb was a type of the end time believer. But they're intertwined with each other. Is everybody with me? All right. Only be thou strong and very courageous. This is the second time he tells him. That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. In other words, quote to quote, right? Get the mind of Moses and carry the people on. I'm telling us today, get the quotes right, get the message right, and let's move forward. Because Brother Branham is not going to place us in our position. It's going to be a fivefold ministry that's going to place us in our position. Okay? So I depend on that. Which Moses, my servant, commanded thee, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way, what? Prosperous. And thou shalt have good success. Have I not? In other words, Joshua, if you forgot, I'm fixing to tell you what I told you the second time. I'm going to tell you the third time. Have not I commanded thee be strong and of good courage? I say today, we need to be strong and of good courage. Don't go to the right. Don't go to the left. Don't even look to the right or the left. Go right down the path. Forget about it. I mean, you're going to get, but Brother Brown preached, what is the attraction on the mountain? Well, there's many attractions today besides the mountain that we can look at and get turned sideways. We look over here. We can get on our own website. We can get on that stupid belief of sign junk. I'm sorry. It's of the devil. There ain't but one sign they're going to get. And it's got a lake and fire on it. It's not going to be that. Because they don't even believe in that. That was just something that something happened that a jet went across or some thinking stuff like that. I don't like people stealing the souls of good people. Right, Brother Bob? I'm talking about stealing the souls of good, honest people. I ain't talking about stealing souls of somebody. I'm talking about stealing the soul of somebody. Stealing the very life because one thing don't match this thing, and this don't match that, and he didn't do this. He wasn't out there when that happened. Garbage. It's just garbage. Amen. Have not I commanded thee be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Here we are in 2025. 3 months into it, almost four. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Listen, the king's in the camp. As I was with him, so I'll be with you. As I was with Moses, Joshua, Jesus, Brother Branham, Paul, I'll be with you. He can't change. He's an unchanging God with unchanging ways. Like I said before, though, we got to plug ourselves into that. You do have something to do with it. You got to plug yourself into it. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever, Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday afternoon, Saturday, Sunday, whithersoever you go, you take God with you. Now watch. Oh, you get it. Now, he's talking about going up on the mountain and the sword comes into his hand, but watch. The Heavenly Father knows this just as true as you can see that come to pass. Those angels came right down and vindicated every message to be the same. Then you know whether it comes from God or not. It was foretold you by a vision. I couldn't tell you until the service was over because I was forbidden to. In Sabina Canyon, sitting up there that morning, I had my hands up. The wind was blowing my old black hat down. When I was standing there with my hands up praying, he wasn't in a church, he wasn't in a sanctuary. He was, had his old dirty clothes on. Come on, somebody. He had his old, he is in his environment. Right. He was where he wanted to be. Any of y'all ever been? I've been to Phoenix. I've never been to Tucson. They say Tucson's worse than Phoenix. That is the driest, ugliest place I ever seen in my life. There's nothing green except what man puts there. And it's artificial most of the time. It's just blah. But Brother Ram loved to be on the top of that mountain. Where nothing but rocks, sticks, spiders, scorpions, javelina hogs. And somewhere, not this one, but the other one, he was picking what we call begalice, which is a lice that gets on. It's not lice, it's a plant, but it's got fuzzy things and it sticks to you. And the reason they call it begalice, they beg you to get on you and you carry it all to your home and all that stuff. Kookaburras. Why was it Brother Branham on a plush golf course and he had like birds chirping and, you know, flowers and the cool wind was blowing? I'm sure at this time it's probably 100 degrees on top of that mountain. But he was standing there with my hands up praying. I said, Lord God, what does this mean? I can't understand it, Lord. Have you ever asked him that here? What am I doing? What does this mean? What does this whole us being here mean? I can't understand it, Lord. Well, if you tell him that, then he's obligated somewhere to tell you why you're here and what you're doing here. Because this, remember, this third pull is your placing. It's adoption. Because it's the opening of the word. The only way you're going to get adopted is the opening of the word. What is them to do? If I'm going home, see, he thought then, now, normally in his mind, he thought, I'm going to die. There's going to be a great blast. I'm going to be killed. Let them not find me. He's talking about, I don't want nobody to mourn me. Just let me go on. Tell the family to think I just took a walk and they won't find me. Hide me away somewhere. If I'm going to go away, just let me go. Maybe Joseph will find my Bible laying here someday and let him use it. If I'm going away, let me go, Lord. And I had my hands out, and all at once something hit my hand. I don't know. I can't say. Did I go to sleep? I don't know. Did I go in a trance? I don't know. Was it a vision? I can't tell you. Only thing I can say is just the same thing like them angels was, and it struck my hand. It was a sword. Had pearl handle, real pretty. Had a guard over it with gold. Boy, when God does something, he don't do it. He does it the right way. Because this was going to be a symbol of what he was going to do. All right? And I remember years ago, Brother Harris preached a sermon right here. He said, the sword's got to be in your hand too. You got to have a sword in the hand experience. You say, I've never had it where I had. You got to have a word experience. It's gold. The blade looked like something like a chrome, like silver, only it was real shiny. And it was so feather-edged sharp. Oh, my. And I thought, isn't that the prettiest thing? Look, it just fit his hand, too. It just fit my hand. I thought, that's awful pretty. But I said, hey, I'm always afraid of them things. A sword. And I thought, what will I do with that? And just then a voice shook down through there that rocked the rocks and said, it's the sword of the king. Then I came out of it, the sword of the king. Now, if he'd have said a sword of a king, but it said the sword of the king, and there's only one king, and that's God. And he had one sword, and that's his word, what I live by. that so help me God standing here over this holy desk and with his holy word laying. Listen, if Brother Branham was a liar, he was a good one. Because I believe all that. I believe it from my heart. That God is leading him somewhere just like you can take your life and God see God leading you to the different places. It took somebody to be our example, though, that God could be so close to that he could use him so much till we'd see that as an example, and then we can say, that ain't nothing but the truth, and then we reap the benefits off of it. You may never have a literal sword. That was for Brother Branham. That was for a prophetic ministry. It was to show him he had the word of God, not a word of God. And then he could have boldness and confidence to stand in a pulpit and tell you, thus saith the Lord, and tell you what the first seal, second seal, third seal, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh, and tell you with confidence what it was. That's why any minister should have confidence when they come up here to the pulpit. You have confidence in what you're talking about. If you don't believe it, you need to sit down. Because you're doing your harm, you're doing that harm worse than you're doing your harm. Because you're harming the people. And he has one sword, and that's his word. What I live by, that so help me God, standing over this holy desk with the holy word laying here, it's the word. Oh my. What a day we're living in. Now watch what the angel tells him about that scene. Oh, what a day we're living in. What a great thing. See, the mystery, look, the mystery and secret. The third, standing there when this left me, something just came to me and said, don't fear. Now, what did he tell Joshua? Don't fear. Place the people in the land. Do it as I command you. Brother Branham, get off this mountain. Go do what I'm telling you to do and give it to the people pure and unadulterated. Do not back up. Do not get caught up in anything, you just give it the way I got it. Now look, he said, now I didn't hear no voice like on the inside of me spoke. I have to just tell you the truth. This is exactly what happened. Something hid and said, don't fear. This is that third pull. Okay? This is that third pull, which was what? His sword in his hand, the commission for him to not come off the evangelical field, but quit being an evangelist. He had a work to do, and when that sword hit his hand, when he come down off that mountain, I believe just like he would do me and you, put a minister in the pulpit to say something, and you say, that ain't nothing but the truth, and that's for me, and I'm going to my next step. This is for me, and I'm going to bring people in. I love it when y'all have comment about people that come in here to preach, because I want them to lift you up. Listening to me all the time could get boring. But when you get something from God, I don't care if you get 5 minutes, you get something from God. If it comes from God, it's eternal. Amen. Now, what you do with it, that's on you. Don't fear. I just have to tell you the truth. Don't fear. This is that third pull. Now, what is the third pull? The third pull is the opening of the word. The third pull is that unwritten part that he said was on the inside of that pyramid mountain that nobody could read but him himself. Amen. On the outside, we've got the, I may have this quote or I may lay it to the side. He said, we've got the water baptism. When he goes through all the doctrines, we've got all that. But the unwritten part is what we are living this day for. The Joshua anointing is for us to be placed. Not just to believe the message. Not just to get born again, which you got to start and you got to do. Oh, what a day we're living in. Mystery and the secret. So now watch. The third pull is an adoption ministry, a placing ministry, not the first pull and second pull. First pull and second pull, and I think I got it in my notes here. The first pull and second pull was bringing people to the church or bringing people to the meetings and watching God heal them physically. Physically, all right? But now remember, that's temporary. I would say probably 99% of the people that come across the platform during his time of ministry have already passed away. Because it's been 60 years, and they might, if they were in their 20s, they'd been 80-something. maybe just some small kids, but most people have already passed on to their reward. But the reward is the healing of the body permanently. And that's the placing. Hey, listen, what did Joshua place? Israelites. They were already in the family. He couldn't place someone that wasn't even in the family. He didn't place the Hittites and the Jebusites. He said, drive them out. So now look, even though Joshua, he has made it into Jordan, the waters parted, the ministers, as soon as they put their feet in the water parted. Is that all right? All right, the water parted, the ark went across, they went across on dry land, showing that Joshua had the same God that Moses did. Come on, somebody. Didn't God do that for him at the Red Sea? He parted the Red Sea, they walked across on dry land. Same way happened in this Jordan. But once they got over into the land, think about this. Once they got over into the land, something else had to happen. Joshua 5, verse 2. At that time, the Lord said unto Joshua, now this is not Joshua having a premonition. God's telling Joshua, make these sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. All right? And Joshua made sharp knives. And if some of you kids don't know what that is, your parents can tell you what it is. Circumcision. But it's a type of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's a type of taking excess skin off of you. Okay? Everybody with me on that? And to be an Israelite, the commission that Abraham was given is to circumcise all of his household and himself. Okay? Everybody with me on that? But what had happened while they were in the journey of Israel, the ones that had been circumcised when they were in Egypt have all died. And the young ones that had come up under that ministry, think about it, that come up under that ministry had not been circumcised. They were Jews because they were born Jews. But there was a little extra needed to be cut off before they got placed. Are you with me? Had a little extra skin. Sin and skin sounds a lot alike. And Joshua made him sharp knives. Now watch. He didn't circumcise babies. These people were in their 20s and 30s and 40s. Now men, think about it. Yeah. But now watch what a mighty God we serve. Watch what he did. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise. All the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness, by the way, after they came out of Egypt. Now look, some of them came out of Egypt, but they brought Egypt with them. Dathan, Korah, all the different ones that had problems with Moses, they brought Egypt out with them. And sometimes you and I, we bring Egypt, which is what? The world, out with us. Now all the people that came out were circumcised. But all the people were born in the wilderness, by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt. Them they had not circumcised. So now, I didn't put the next verse down there. But the next verse is that Joshua circumcised all those men. They had to be some hundreds of thousands of males. It was on the hill of the foreskin. And that's what it is still today. But they had to wait until they were healed up. Because I promise you, you get circumcised at 40 years old, you're going to walk different. Physically, now we're talking spiritually though. We get that circumcision now. We had a circumcision when we give our life to Christ. All right? But God wants to put us in a position that the world's not there anymore. He wants to place us as Israelites, spiritually. We are Israelites going in. But there's a little bit extra we got to get off before this adoption can take place. Everybody with me? So they had to wait several days until they were all healed up, and then they continued on. So I believe that's what's happening now, folks. We are a healing. This is our healing time. Our circumcision of the mind of all the things that we've still been hanging on from Egypt. Well, pray for me. Brother Bram said, look, is this the sign of the end, sir, 1962? If this is the third pull, then there's a great ministry lying ahead. All right? This is before he preached the seals. I don't know. I can't say I don't know. Now listen real close and don't misinterpret this. I want to ask you something. Let's go back just a minute. The church knows it's the truth. The scientific world knows it's the truth. People are sitting here tonight, and many still living, that was standing on the river when that voice spoke that out and said, as John the Baptist, I guess to believe sign people didn't believe that happened. I wish they would change this to disbelieve the sign. Biggest bunch of unbelievers I've ever seen in my life. But you know what? I pray for them. That God will do something. Of course, they're praying for us to get out of it. So, yeah, it's a paradox. All the people that have left the message, they've got their list. Well, I'll promise you, if you leave this message, your name is not on the Lamb's Book of Life. So you might be on a list and you might be in a book, but you ain't in the book that we're written in. I'm sorry, this is a separating time. It's time to get rid of the foolishness. Time to get rid of the excess skin. Time to cut that thing out and throw it away. Get rid of it. If Joshua took hundreds of thousands of males, got them together, and got them, listen to folks, if you walked up to me and said, buddy, I got to circumcise you, and I'm 65 years old, me and you'd have a fight. But if I believe that what that man said, that you're not going to go into this promised land and get you're here, but you're not going to get your inheritance. You're going to be hated. God's not going to bless you. I'd say do it. Be it unto me according to thy word. Praise the Lord. As John the Baptist was sent the message of the first coming, so is this the second message of the second coming, remember? And if it's finished, what did John do? Now, John was the one who said, behold. Now, remember, John was the third Elijah, right? He was commissioned to do one thing. No prayer lines, no healings. Preached 6 months and got his head cut off. Stayed in jail most of that. But he was to do one thing and point the world to Jesus Christ. Point the world to the Son of Man. That's him. It's the hour. Has it arrived, my brother? I don't say it has. I don't know. But I'm asking you. I want you to think. Or will this be the time when it all will be again? Behold, the Lamb of God. Or the time of Malachi 4 to return the hearts of the children back to the faith of the fathers. Will it be such a blast that will do such mighty things until it will set the church that's been slopping and cannot understand the mysteries of God? I believe that's true. When they say that mighty blast sweep, when they see that mighty blast sweep forth, will it turn their hearts back to the Father as the Bible said it would? Or was this the message already passed that should have done it? I don't know. Look at the junction. He said, could it be what I preached from 47 to 63 or up until that time? And then it struck him. Watch this. Now, it took you till 1965 for him to say this. But at the anointed ones at the end time, notice the very day when this messenger, not when he starts on, but when he begins to declare his message. See, the first pull was healing. The second pull, prophesying. Third pull, the opening of the word, the mysteries revealed. No more, there's no more higher order to reveal the word than prophets. So he's taking himself out of the evangelistic role. He's put himself into a prophetic role. We know God did that. He didn't do it. But the only way the prophet can be vindicated is by the word. And remember, the third pull was the opening of them seven seals. So there's no mystery now. We know what the opening of the seals were. It was the third pull. It was that third pull to pull it all in, to get the excess skin to circumcise, again, us, rededicate ourselves, realize you got to realize you're in the promised land first. If you realize you're in the promised land, you got an inheritance. And this message was sent to give you that inheritance. What was Caleb? A type of the believer, right? What Caleb say? He was 40 when he started, 80 when he got to the promised land, and he said, give me that mountain. That's mine. He said, I'm more able now. I feel better now. I wish I was like that. Yeah. If I felt as good at 80 as I did 40, bring me on 80. But we know it ain't happening. But listen, that was his revelation, that was his mountain. And what Joshua didn't say, now, I'll go get it for you. No, he said, go. Remember, he took his own men up there and took the thing. No more. There's no more higher order than prophets. But the way a prophet can be vindicated is by the word. And remember, the third pull was the opening of them seals to reveal the hidden truths that's been sealed in the word. So now look, let's just sum this up and then we'll stop right here. The first and second pull consisted of holding the hand of the person, the hand changing colors and making bumps and all that stuff. We know that, right? Then it moved to the second pull, which was Brother Brown didn't even have to touch him. He just, and I love on that video that he starts doing this. He starts doing this. What's he doing? He's contacting the spirit. He's watching what's going on. He says, you're so-and-so from so-and-so. Your name's Miss So-and-so. You're from such-and-such street. How plain was that? He was looking right at it, what he was doing. So millions gathered around Brother Branham in the first and second pull. Amen? The third pull, the mystery of the word that was sealed since Jesus Christ was on earth, millions left him. Millions. Millions left when he started preaching, when the third pull came into being. Same way with Jesus. You take Jesus Christ, what happened to him? First pull, second pull. They loved it when he took five loaves and two fishes and fed a whole community. 6,000 people. That's more than in Lula. And, well, there's about 60,000 in Hall County. But you can feed a big town with 6,000 people. He fed them all in one day and picked up enough for them to have another day. They loved it. So, boy, that was all around him. But when he stood one day and said, I and my Father are one. I come to do thy will, O Lord. I'm the one that Joshua's talking about, or Moses is talking about. I'm the one. Remember they said Moses? We've got Moses. He's our prophet. He said, if you'd have known Moses, you'd know me. And he said, I and my Father are one. They hated him for that. They hated Brother Branham when he started preaching doctrine. The doctrine that was the truth that nobody had ever seen before. Now watch. We'll close right here. We've been on this for a long time. I always go back to the questions and answers on the seals. This is on the, he preached the first seal to the sixth seal. And then this was Sunday morning, I believe it was, or either Saturday. He stopped and had questions and answers, right? Before he preached the seventh seal. Everybody with me? All right, in chronological order, that's the way it went. There was a gap between 6 and 7. There always is. All right, now look. Remember Brother Brown told him, you're not getting it. It's not for you. It's gone from you. Well, now this is the end of the quote. I read you the quote before. This is the end of it. He said, don't try to make yourself odd to be a Christian because you take yourself away from God and you, if you can understand it, this is that third pull. You should have caught that the other day. He'd made all that quote that I've read to you many, many times. It's gone from you. It's not for you. It's not the right crystal. There's voices going through here. You should have picked it up. In other words, spiritual voices. Voice of God, he said. But he said right here, he said, you should have understood or caught that the other day. You remember, there'll be no impersonation like there was of the other two. So there's not going to be another prayer line like Brother Branham had. Right? Because what would happen when and even under the second pull, the lady or man would come up and he'd say, "You're from so and so, and you're from so and so, and you're from so." Now, like, "Oh yes, that's right, brother. That's right. That's right. That's right." Now that didn't mean they're saved. That didn't mean they knew nothing about the Word of God. They got healed. That was a healing ministry. But when he started opening the Word of God up, there wasn't a whole lot of amens, a lot of oh me's. Because he was digging into what they had never seen before, but it wasn't for them. That was reserved for me and you. You remember, there'll be no impersonation like there was the other two. There's no one ever going to preach like Brother Branham preached. The mysteries. No one. They impersonated the first pull. They had blood on their hands. They had oil that would drip out of their face and oil that would drip. They'd have a stick that would go down here or a pipe and they'd run oil. It was all fake. Some of it was real, yes. God honored the gift. He didn't have to honor the person. But there was impersonations. But you can impersonate the Word of God that's never been shown. Who can interpret it? Only God can interpret it. And he can only give it to a prophet. "I'll do nothing," Amos said, "unless I reveal it first to my servant, the prophet." So without a prophet, what I was telling the brother the other day, without a prophet, you don't get nothing. It had to come through a prophet. We had to know what was going on. And Brother Bram said, "Look, so see, that's as far as you should know. Now just remember that you see now there's something taking place in this room." We're still on the sixth seal, the questions and answers on seals. "There's something taking place in this room, and there's something here. There's actual, in this room, angels. Voice of God, see? But if you can't hear the natural voice without something to send it out, how are you going to hear the spiritual voice?" What he was telling them, that hole, from the first seal opened all the way up to there, they did not get that unwritten part. If you can't hear the natural voice, his natural voice, how are you going to hear the spiritual voice? I hope you don't key in on my voice. I hate my voice. I can't listen to myself on tape. I don't like it. It's not good. But can you hear what's being said? That God can give something. You know, I'm going to... Oh, let's stand to our feet. We'll get musicians. We'll just stop right there. You know, sometimes we get so spiritual about things, we want to say thou and thee. And now, my God's not, he don't speak Southern language, but he understands it. So I talk to him just like I talk to you. I drive down the road, I say, "Lord, now there's something going on. Something going on around here. Now, what is it? Let's talk about this. Is it this? Is it that?" And I say, "Maters and taters and haint and tote," as Brother Ram said, "and gee, yet." And he understands everything I said. Yeah. I don't have to say thee and thou and though and all that. I'm sorry. We don't have to. Because he's a God of variety. He's a God that deals with you just what I'm, the point I'm trying to make is, he dealt with Brother Branham the way Brother Branham saw life. The way he saw life is how God interpreted everything, and everything had an example to it. The bull. There was the third pull, speaking of the word. All these different things. The fish, catching the fish, pulled his guts out. The possum walking up to his house. It was all in nature. And he speaks to us the way we can understand. That's what makes it, it's going to be our fault that we don't make it, folks. God has talked plain to you just like you hear him talking or somebody else talking to you, maybe your brother, sister, or whoever. That's what God's talking to you with. Everybody with me? So let's don't think it's some booming voice, and sometimes maybe it is. God was the living word made manifest, and they missed it. Is it the living word made manifest today, and are we missing it? Are you hearing the voice of God, or are you just hearing a voice? Are you letting it go deep? Are you really honing in on not what mistakes I make and what mistakes Brother Branham make, or Brother Aaron, or Brother Luis, or Brother Bob, or anybody else? Listen, you can find anything you want to look for. Anything. Like Brother Dale always said, he said, give me a quote. He said, I promise you in about 10 minutes I can give you three quotes that sound different than that one. I said, sound different. Now, Jesus himself, God stood one day and he said, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you'll have no part with me. Now, did we just go jump out and start being cannibals? We know what he said by interpretation by the Holy Ghost. I said interpretation by the Holy Ghost. We understood what he was saying. So now the word, this unwritten word, you listen, that's why Brother Ram said we got to have revelation more than anything. Because you can sit here and you can do as they're doing now. You're giving them something and they've already got a quote. They've already got this set opposite for it. You tell them this, you already got this opposite for it. You can't get it but by revelation. That's the unwritten part. So you listen, you're not going to find it in here. You're going to find it with this in here. You're going to find it. Not here. You can find all kind of, listen, you can find contradictions because it's what you're looking for. If you take this Bible and give it to a Baptist, he's going to preach out of this very same Bible I got in my hand today. With what? Three eyes. Trinitarian eyes. He's going to see it with an eternal hell eyes. Bible does say everlasting, eternal punishment. There is an eternal punishment, but there's not an eternal hell. We know that because there's only one form of eternal life, and it's so simple. Just say, God's the only person that's got eternal life. Why would he be in hell? Why would he put people in hell and give them eternal life? Right. Pretty simple, but you know what? They'll hang their soul on it. Yeah. I want to ask you a question before we close. What are you hanging your soul on? Right. You hanging your soul on some? God's going to send somebody else? Or he's already sent that person? We just need to know what he's saying. Because I believe it was the voice of God in the end time for a group of people. There's going to be people, folks, that's going to fall away just like first pull, second pull, crowds. Pack them in. Love Brother Branham. Loved you. Love me. We could fill this building up if we start having signs and wonders. But the Word of God is the whole thing. And sometimes it may be dull, and it's just what you do with it. Let's sing a song.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus.
No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back.
Some of them did hold on to that promise, at least Joshua and Caleb did, that one day they was going to get to the promised land. They knew they weren't in the promised land, but they were going to get to it. But it had to be a journey, Brother John, 40 years long, to get rid of the unbelievers. Because we didn't get into it, but we'll get into it later on. The third pull, we know it's the opening of the word, but as the word opens and you deny it, that's where Jesus went to hell and preached to people that we eternally lost. There's no way they can find God. They shut the door. Let's not be that way. But it is the third pull. It's part of it. It's part of the third pull that we gotta cover that. There is a group of people that will send their day of grace away and still sit in a message church. Brother Brown said, still thinking they get the Holy Ghost. You know why? Because they hadn't been taught right. Let's bow our head. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, Lord. We pray that you be with us on the highways. Be with us, Lord, as we continue our work week, Lord. Be with the ones that are sick, Lord. Be with the ones, Lord, that are dilatory, Lord, that just seems like there's no fire in their heart, Lord, and I pray that you'd light their fire, Lord. And Lord, may they become, Lord, better Christians. May we all become better Christians, Father. Lord, take us to that hill of the foreskin, Lord, and take everything off that we don't need, Lord. Lord, that we may walk different, that we may talk different, that we may act different. And Lord, that you would graciously put us in our promised land and our position, Lord. Not just standing around wondering who's this and what's that, but we'll know what our ground is and we'll stand on it. Father, that's what we've come to. The age of adoption, to where our name is as good on a checkbook as yours is. And we have the authority, as you do have the authority, we have it under your leadership, Lord, to be able to sign the check for anything we need, Father. I pray that you'd hasten the day, Lord, that we'll come to that place, Lord. Where to be, as Brother Brown said, it'd be like firecrackers going off. It'd be fireworks, it'd pop in here and there. Lord, that we'll understand the word of God and that we'll be happy about these things and not be begrudging that we are still in this journey, Lord, getting older, Father. I pray, like Caleb, Lord, he saw that mountain during his whole life. And he said, God, you get me back to that mountain. He said, I'll possess that thing. Lord, whatever mountain that we have in our life, Lord, I pray that we as Caleb, doesn't matter how old, how young, but we can look up and say, give me my mountain. Father, just bless us on the highways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, Brother Joe.
Turning back, oh, I have started.